I'm Dom Betts, and you're listening to The Football Hour. This is our Title Watch Best Bits. This series was inspired by what we did in pre-season that got us all flying up charts on iTunes and Audioboom, which was the Manager Watch Best Bits, which we were looking ahead to the coming season and what we thought each team would do. And this was a series we started called Title Watch. So 10 or so games in, we decided to look at the top 6, 7 teams and how well they're going to do this season. So we had Man City, we had Arsenal, we had Chelsea, we had Liverpool, we had United, we have Spurs, and we even had Everton. And this hour-long podcast, or around an hour-long podcast, just the best bits, the best things we said, the funniest things we said. Some actually good opinions did come out of it, so I hope you enjoy the podcast. And also, remember to subscribe on iTunes, leave us a review to help us keep going up the charts. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to The Football Hour with Dom Betts and Alex Mearns.
We are starting our series, Title Watch. Dom Betts is joined with me in the studio, and we are going to discuss Chelsea. They beat Manchester United and their former manager, Dom, 4-0 at the Bridge at the weekend. What a result for Antonio Conte.
He's had a lot of critics, and there was a whole thing about he might be like losing his job like last week, I think it was. And after this performance, I don't think that's going to happen.
It was an amazing result because Chelsea in the two other massive games this season, West Ham was a big one at the start of the season, but the ones against the title rivals, Liverpool, smashed at home, let's say, 2-0. We weren't expecting it, were we? And then Arsenal, 3-0. Is this the result Conte needs to win over his team, that he is this elite manager?
I think his players know he's an elite manager.
Did they, though?
I think
because they lost to Arsenal. They got smashed by Arsenal, and then they got smashed by Liverpool. If they lost to Man United...
Right, they've changed their formation, right, to this 3-4-3, right?
Yes.
And they wouldn't have adapted to it so well, so quickly, if they didn't rate their manager as this elite person.
I totally understand where you're coming from. It was weird at the start of the season that Conte wasn't putting his normal formation into the Chelsea team. Why wasn't he starting three at the back? It was a strange one. And then they had the poor results, which I mentioned. They go to Conte's formation, and voila. What went wrong for Matic? Because he was brilliant in his first season back. They won the title. Everyone thought, this guy's the best central defensive midfielder in the Premier League. Kante comes to Leicester and it's like, you ain't as good as me, lad. And now they're both together. It's like, I didn't think it would work with two
defensive minded.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
I mean, you move on to how Matic was really poor last season. Like, I remember saying when we did manager watching pre-season that Chelsea should sell him.
Yeah, you did.
Maybe not now.
Is that because we thought Kante was going to be the only...
We thought that's how they play. We didn't know what formation they were going to use. I don't think even Chelsea fans thought they'd end up with a 3-4-3 at home to Man United. But still, I mean, Chelsea were just so clinical in this game.
Let's talk about the first goal, because I thought it really came from the system, the 3-4-3. What happened? Ball was at Gary Cahill's feet. Passed it into Eden Hazard, who very close to the middle of the pitch. He wasn't wide like he normally is, right? He was tighter, but he was deep. So he got the ball off Gary Cahill, passed it out square to Alonso. Because Hazard had dropped deep, Pedro knew that he had to come in closer to Costa, didn't he? So it was a weird problem for Daley Blind and Chris Smalling. A brilliant ball from Alonso, poor defending from Manchester United, but because Pedro was so tight in, because they're playing 3-4-3, and he has to be close to Costa, he was there to nick the ball. It was the first time I felt Pedro was back to his Barcelona best. And that's what you're saying. This system is getting the best out of players, which last year we all thought, are they going to make it at Chelsea? How impressed are you being with Pedro?
He was rated at Barcelona, but when you have the likes of Messi and David Villa and Thierry Henry ahead of you...
I totally get what you mean. He was great for their system.
He just suited the way they played.
Yeah.
Because for a winger, he's got a very good eye for goal.
Yeah, very good.
Because he's much more of a... I know he's talking about inside forwards, but he's much more of an inside forward than an out-and-out winger.
Yeah, he's not a winger who beats his defender, gets the cross in.
Yeah, he doesn't go to the byline, whip one in for Costa to head one in, etc, etc. He likes getting inside. When he's one-on-one, put your money on Pedro to score.
You would. I thought it was a really, really decent first goal. So, Chelsea are now back in the top four. They're 1 point off Liverpool, Arsenal, City. You said last week that you thought Chelsea are going to get top four, but you didn't think they're ready for the title push. But you did say they were going to beat Manchester United the weekend. Is the confidence growing in you that Chelsea can become this team which really goes close this season?
I'm going to say yes now, but it's just because all the teams around them this weekend just didn't pick up results by Liverpool.
That's why their result is so important, isn't it?
Unless, yes, I think they're going to get top four. I still don't think they have enough for a title push quite yet. I know they won 4-0, right? Mm. But I still don't believe they have the amount of goals in them. I know, yeah. I know it sounds weird. Apart from, no, just Hazard and Costa, I don't really see many goals in them.
They've smashed four against Manchester United, so there's a few goals
in them. I just don't know what to make of their results at the moment.
I'd go totally the opposite with you, right? I think they've got loads of goals in them, but what they needed to do was shore up at the back. And they've found a system now, Dom, as we keep repeating ourselves, that is working for them, and it's keeping them solid. It's keeping them really solid. Their last three results, Dom, away to Hull City, 2-0. At home to Leicester, 3-0. Chelsea, at home to Manchester United. Mourinho's coming back. They win 4-0. If they carry on this run, it's 5-0 next week. 6-0 the week after.
It's Chelsea, so I can't find this enjoyable. But to be fair, I actually was wanting them to win yesterday.
Really?
Just to prove my point about Mourinho being a fraud. But we'll move on to that when we talk about Man United. I still don't think they can push for the title, and I don't know what it is. Like Liverpool, without being in Europe, got a massive advantage over the other side.
Massive.
Yeah, I just don't see them having a title push in them. I think they can do maybe finish third or fourth, but maybe not a title push. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just because I hate Chelsea and I don't want them winning the title. But it's annoying because I really like Conte.
He looks a decent manager. He looks a really decent manager.
I think people didn't give him as if how much people would rate Klopp. Or Pochettino or Wenger or Guardiola, because he's only done it in Serie A, and people in England have this stigma about how Serie A is this rubbish, slow-paced league, but it's one of the most tactically strong leagues in Europe. You win it with a system. He was unbeaten a whole season with Juventus. I mean, I know it's Juventus, but that isn't easy doing.
Right, this title race is on, Dom. We've done Chelsea. This is title watch. We've been impressed so far. Let's see how they get on in the future.
We are now available on iTunes. Just search The Football Hour on the iTunes Store and subscribe to receive all our latest podcasts straight away. You're listening to The Football Hour with Dom Betts and Alex Mearns.
Welcome along to our series, Title Watch. It's called Title Watch, Dom. The team we're going to do this very podcast is Manchester United. They're 6 points off first place at the moment. They're sitting in seventh. They have just been smashed by Chelsea 4-0. Their manager, Jose Mourinho, the special one, is being called the humiliated one. How disappointed were you with Manchester United?
I mean, I could say I was disappointed with it, but I really enjoyed watching Mourinho just get shown up.
Is that what it was? It was a complete show-up?
You got done, simple as.
I want a name, the Manchester United defenders that play at the moment. Daley Blind, is he a defender? Chris Smalling, not proved anything to me. I think Chris Smalling spends more time trying to grab the opposition's shirts than he does marking and defending. He's never trusted his own ability to defend, I don't think, Chris Smalling. He's constantly with his hands. And almost a bit like Leicester City this season, people are getting penalised for using their hands and grabbing on. Chris Smalling's head is somewhere else. Marcus Rojo. The lad loves his hair more than he loves defending. He doesn't look like he wants to get his legs dirty. He doesn't ever want to tackle. He just doesn't look like defending means a lot to him. Then you've got Eric Bailly. Young lad. Does he speak the language? Most likely not, and it looks like that on the pitch. It looks like he's a young lad, very much like Arsenal's centre-back when he came. Gabriel, he played at Villarreal as well. It almost looks like they don't know how to communicate, how to say there's a problem. It's almost like they can see it.
They don't know how to defend.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? And then you got Valencia.
Who's not a defender.
Who probably was their best player at the weekend. He's not a right-back, and he hasn't been his whole life.
He's an out-and-out winger. He's one who gets down to the byline and whips in a cross.
The reason a full-back is so good, let's take Gary Neville, for example. I know he played centre-back a lot when he was a youth player, but he developed himself as a full-back. He practised bloody throw-ins. Who practices throw-ins? But can you imagine, Valencia, he just doesn't know that position 100%. He's not done it his whole career. Is that the reason they're losing 4-0? Because it must be, because Van Gaal had a problem, now Mourinho's got a problem. Are these defenders good enough?
No, but the thing is, when you were talking about fullbacks just now, I was thinking, I was like, can I think of a fullback who can defend well?
What about Darmian? He never gets in the team. He looks like a proper right back.
He's not one who bomb up and down the wing every day of the week, but he looks so much more solid defensively.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about, who are the best right backs and left backs in the division, right? I know it's not related to Man United, but let's say Kyle Walker, Danny Rose, Hector Bellerin. If you look at all three of them, I don't think any of those three are actually good defenders. I know it's Arsenal, but Nacho Monreal, he's a good defender. I can't think of many fullbacks who can defend now. Maybe clubs need to start training them how to defend.
You called it a Mourinho masterclass when they drew 0-0 with Liverpool at Anfield. Where was that team that drew 0-0 Was the fact they conceded so early on the reason they couldn't be that team? And they didn't have a plan B after 30 seconds.
Well, yeah, if you concede after 30 seconds, your game plan goes out the window. You basically have just given the other team a head start. The first United player touched the ball was De Gea getting the ball out of his net.
If Liverpool scored in the first 30 seconds, would it have been a similar scoreline?
It would have finished like 3 or 4-1.
Would Manchester United have known what to do next?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, United, they were just poor all over the pitch, really. Pogba, right, we've missed the two middle goals, right? But if you look at Kante's fourth goal, right?
Mm.
How is he allowed to make that run in between Pogba and Herrera? It's a disgrace.
He didn't even run fast. It was almost like Herrera and Pogba were like Bobby Charlton, Dennis Law and George Best outside Old Trafford. What were they? Statues. Literally stood still. And it's funny, he's like N'Golo Kante.
N'Golo Kante sends Smalling on a bus to Fulham when he cuts inside him or cuts outside him.
They gave up, didn't they?
Yeah,
they gave up in their defensive duties. I want to ask the question about Paul Pogba, because it flicked in my head, Dom. Is central midfield, in a two, the hardest position in the world to be the most expensive player in the world? Because he's constantly thinking, I have to prove to my team, to my manager, to the world, that I am worth this price. But what a central midfielder has to concentrate on is defending.
If I'm going to spend unlimited amount of money, right, on a holding midfielder, I'm not going to buy Pogba. I'll just go for Sergio Busquets.
If you're spending that amount of money, right, do you expect him to be in the top three Premier League players?
If you spend that money, you expect him to be the best Premier League player.
Okay, I'm going to list some players. I want you to tell me if Paul Pogba's better. De Bruyne?
No.
Ozil?
No.
Sanchez?
No.
Hazard?
No.
Costa?
No.
Zlatan?
No.
No, I'm going to keep going. Ryan Shawcross?
Possibly.
The story's coming out is what he whispered in Conte's ear was, why are you disrespecting me and my team and my former fans, the Chelsea fans, by celebrating so much at 4-0? He's got a short memory, hasn't he, Mourinho? I remember Inter Milan at Barcelona. He runs on the pitch doing an Alan Shearer with his finger in the air. He runs past every Barcelona player. What did he do with his team against Porto?
He ran down the whole bloody touchline.
He slided
into the bloody corner flag.
He did. Conte has just smashed his rivals 4-0. He can do whatever the hell he likes, can't he?
It's not his fault Chelsea fans are wood. And the sounds of wood or burn. Like, we know Chelsea fans are awful. He just could hear the United fans being louder when his team were winning 4-0 and his fans were silent.
So he was just jeering them up.
He just wanted to get his fans excited and his...
Klopp did that. We'd love it. Mourinho looked really unhappy. He's finally got the job that he's wanted for so long. For so long he has wanted to be Manchester United manager. He wanted to take over after Sir Alex Ferguson. He wasn't scared of that job. Why isn't he smiling more? He wasn't even smiling at his press conference when he was on the pitch with the Manchester United shirt. He just constantly just got a face of, everyone hates me. He's not the same Mourinho, is he?
Since when he arrived at Chelsea, when he's all happy, smiley, arrogant, annoying,
but he's cocky.
Yeah, now he's just
bitter.
Yeah, he's just finding out that he's not actually a good manager anymore.
I wouldn't go that far. I think he is a good manager. He's just showing too much of one side of himself, I think. We want to see the other side of Mourinho. The exciting, that I'm better than everyone else. To me, he looks like he's letting Conte be better than him. He looks like he's letting Klopp be the more exciting manager. Even Arsene Wenger, the man he bullied in the past, he's allowing Wenger to look taller than him, to look better than him.
Because, as we said, we're sitting 6 points off the top.
Which isn't that bad.
But then they are also only 2 points ahead of Watford and Bournemouth.
That is bad.
Only 1 point ahead of Southampton. We have looked very good this season.
So we're calling this title watch. Should it be 10th place watch with Manchester United?
United, I don't know, like... I'm enjoying it because I hate Mourinho, like, massively. Despise the man. And it's fun to watch them, but, like...
So it's called Title Watch, this podcast. Are they going to be stull in with a chance of winning the title by 3 o'clock on Saturday the 19th of November after the Arsenal match?
They're always going to be in the title race. They're Manchester United. Will they be out of it? No, but could I see them winning it? Let's say... If they get 6 points for the next two games, then, yeah, I'll say they're in it, right?
Yeah, of course.
But if they get 3 points or 4 points, and I'd say Arsenal and Spurs and Liverpool will be winning games in that time as well. So yeah, they drop any points in the next two games, I'm going to find it hard to make an argument for them winning.
It's that bad for Manchester United. We are not making this out to be any more worse than it is, because to lose 4-0 at Chelsea is bad. It is bad. United need to start turning their season around.
One thing is, there's five teams who are at least 5 points ahead of them.
That's a lot of teams, isn't it, Dom?
This is Dom Betts and Alex Mearns on the Football Hour.
I said it in the podcast about Arsenal the other week, Dom, that I think they're going to win the league. This is title watch. I'm going to go with it. I think Arsenal are going to win the league. Why don't you?
Because it's Arsenal, perfectly honest with you.
Rubbish.
I can't see Arsenal winning a league title.
It's okay. Just... Too many teams around them. Is that why you don't think?
Maybe. Arsenal and winning titles just doesn't sound right to me. Well, Premier League title anyway. It'll be 13 years if they don't win the title this year. And for a club the size of Arsenal, that's a disgrace, to be perfectly honest. That is a disgrace.
Well, we've seen with Liverpool, they get in the Champions League and then drop out a lot of the time. Manchester United, after Fergie, they've been in the Champions League, is it one season since Fergie's gone? Arsenal done terrific under Wenger, getting the Champions League.
I'd think Arsenal fans have probably taken the last 13 years United had,
right,
the last 13 years they've had.
Okay, I probably agree as well. So I'm not going to big them up that much. Arsene Wenger's explanation after the Borough game is that there are two teams on the pitch, Dom. And we have to remember that. Borough aren't there to go to the Emirates and get smashed. It's two forces going against another. I know Arsenal have the better players, but sometimes it doesn't work. And that's what I'm saying. That point could be vital. But what you're saying is, if they go and beat Borough...
If this point was at Middlesbrough, yeah, I would say, yeah, it's a gained point. But home games, if you're going to win the league, you have to win these games. I understand drawing at home to the likes of Man City, Liverpool, Spurs, Chelsea, Everton, but Middlesbrough, team is going to be fighting relegation this season.
Is the reason they didn't get any goals, do they need to start playing another striker up front with Alexis, maybe at the home games? I know they've been scoring a bucket loads of goals, but could they go for another striker? Perez or Giroud?
I mean,
coming back.
Yeah, Giroud's just coming back from injury, I think.
Or do you just think they're on a winning
formula? I don't know. Have Arsenal playing two strikers up front, it doesn't seem right.
Okay.
That just doesn't seem Arsenal. I can't see Wenger doing that.
I know people are probably going to shout at me, why change a winning team? And that's right, that's right. And this is called title watch, so...
You know what the answer's going to be. They're not.
I'm not
going to
ask the question. Ask me the question.
Are they going to win the title?
I think they are.
I can't see that happening, perfectly honest.
Okay, well...
I think it just comes down to a mental aspect. I don't think they have it in them.
Right.
They're top two best teams in the league on their day.
Because they've
but
got...
Honestly, I think there's this mental thing which happens to Arsenal players that they don't think they can actually do it.
They've got Mesut Ozil. He's won a World Cup. In the summer, Sanchez won, what was it, the Copa America. Mustafi, he's won a World Cup. Czechs won titles with Chelsea. They've got a team full of people who've won things before. So what is that? What are you saying about the mentality? It can't be. Just because they put on an Arsenal shirt doesn't mean that they can't win leagues. Because they've done it before.
Half these players are there last season when okay. they should have won the league.
Okay.
Arsenal should have won the league last season. There's no argument.
That's harsh on Leicester.
It's not being harsh on Leicester. It's Arsenal should have won the league last year.
Tottenham were a better side than Arsenal. I just think Arsenal are improving. The last 3 years, since Ozil's come in, each year they're improving. They've gone up from fourth to third, from third to second. And I just think that they're constantly not changing, which I think is a good thing. And you're seeing the progression. I know it's slow and I know people want it quicker. But what I'm pointing out is the progression. Fourth, third, second. It might be first.
It won't be first.
But why did you have to say that? It was a really good thing that I just said. That was a really clever thing that I've just said.
Because they're not going to finish third.
All right, we're repeating ourselves, aren't we? We're repeating ourselves. Arsenal sitting second at the moment. Can they win the title? Arsenal fans, get in contact with us at The Football Hour on Twitter.
The Football Hour.
What's Pep brought to the Premier League?
He's brought the whole aura that surrounds him, and which can sometimes be a negative thing as well sometimes, because so much is expected of you, but he's shown that he's ruthless.
Yes.
In his management style, he's ruthless. He doesn't care about the reputation of a player. As we mentioned before, Joe Hart doesn't play him that much. Even the likes of Aguero.
Aguero. You've talked about Pep's aura. At the start of the season, they went on a 10-game unbeaten run. They were bossing every single team. The football, some of it was revolutionary for the Premier League. It was revolutionary. I've not seen a team pass. I know managers say, I like to play out from the back, but I've never seen a team in the Premier League play out from the back unless they're causing suicide. Have we reached a point where he's asking his players to do too much? He's changing the formation too much, Dom, and this is why the results aren't keeping up.
Yes and no. I mean, I think he is changing the team a lot, which is not a good thing if you want to win the league. Let's take Leicester. I know we use it all the time, but they hardly changed their 11 last year. And that's why they're so consistent. But also, I don't think he knows his best 11. And I think he's trying to work it out.
Yeah, I agree.
And I've said this all season, there's still so much dead wood in that squad. The likes of Yaya Toure, the likes of Alexander Kolarov, I know he's been playing, but he's still a bit of dead wood. It's clear he...
Clichy last night against Manchester United. He's just not got the quality
anymore. He looks so
anymore.
Poor compared, obviously, to the right-back Maffeo, who is in. There's so much dead wood in that squad that needs to have gotten rid of. I know Fernando has a role to play, but he doesn't start many games.
No.
Fernandinho starts ahead of him. Maybe needs a season. It's not like Football Manager. You can't walk into a club, put a tactic in and expect it to run right in every league you go to.
But Pep does expect that from his team.
Pep may expect it, but it can't. You can't do that in the Premier League. He needs at least a year before his philosophy is properly implemented into that City team, just so he gets his team.
But I don't understand that now, because he didn't need a year at the start of the season when they were bossing games. He didn't need a year. Now it's like he needs time. At the start of the season, he didn't need time. It's like, what is this now?
I'm not sure what to make of it, because it's not like they're playing awfully. I mean, they're not playing as well as they were against the likes of West Ham.
Are they just making individual mistakes? Is John Stones making more individual mistakes than he was at the start of the season? Is Vincent Kompany coming in? He's unfit. He's not ready. He's not match fit. He's had no pre-season. He's making a few mistakes. Kolarov is playing centre-half. It's a position he doesn't know. He's making mistakes. I want to talk about the goalkeeper. You said Pep's come in and made brave decisions, and the bravest decision was dropping Joe Hart. Why did he leave it to the first game of the season? Why didn't he do it straight after the Euro? Say, I respect Joe Hart, what he's done for this club. Why is he picking fights with Aguero? Why did he pick this battle with Joe Hart when the team sheet was announced on the first game of the season? What's happening now is Bravo's making mistakes, Dom. He's making big mistakes. If Pep didn't make such a big deal of dropping Joe Hart, maybe we wouldn't be so critical of Bravo, but he is making mistakes. And I want to ask the question now. Was the decision the right one? Getting rid of Joe Hart and bringing in Claudio Bravo?
I think getting rid of Joe Hart was the right decision for the football they're playing. There's no hiding it. Joe Hart's distribution isn't the best. And that's key to the Man City team. If you look at the stats that talk about his distribution, they are quite poor. But I wouldn't have brought in Claudio Bravo.
Who would you have brought in?
I would have Marc-Andre ter Stegen, the other Barcelona keeper, the younger one. Because this... I'd rather spend, 40-30 million on a keeper who's like 20-23 maybe like that, instead of spending 20 million on a 30-year-old keeper.
I understand.
I don't think...
But why did they spend that money earlier in the summer? Why did they wait to drop Joe Hart on the first game, shock the whole of the Premier League by dropping the England goalkeeper? Why did he wait to that point? Was he searching for a goalkeeper beforehand? Because to me, it looked like, right, I'm going to drop Joe Hart now, and now I'm going to look for a goalkeeper. It was done too late, wasn't it? It was mismanagement.
You could say it was done too late. They still won all their games in August.
Because Big Willie was in goal.
Yeah, Big Willie was in goal. People do say it's too late, yes, but they won all their games in August. So it didn't affect the team. Maybe the team morale or the team chemistry, maybe, but not the results of the team.
I understand. Who's impressed you then? We've said about Bravo making a few mistakes. Who's impressed you in this City side? Who has Pep got? We all know he's a wonderful coach. Who's he moulded? You've looked at him in a City shirt this season and thought, wow, under Pep, he is progressing.
Well, it's the clear, obvious answer is Raheem Sterling. Comparison how he played last season when he had the big money transfer to Man City, had maybe a couple of games where he's played well, but for the first couple of months of the season, this is the Raheem Sterling I remember under Rodgers at Liverpool. I know he's dropped off, but that's because the whole team's dropped off recently.
But I think with Raheem, he's taking more responsibility in his play, isn't he?
Yeah.
He looks like he wants to provide the assist. He's making a difference where it matters. Before, I just thought he was a bit lightweight. Last season, did he want to get in the position to score goals? Was he nervous about making mistakes because of his big transfer fee? This year, he's taken on the responsibility and he's looking like a player who's going, you know what, I want to be at the level of Aguero. I want to get to where De Bruyne is. I want to start for Manchester City. Hopefully, he can take responsibility for England because we need players like that who aren't scared. And he looks like a determined young man. At the new camp, I was impressed by Raheem Sterling. When Jeremy Mathieu was on his yellow card, Raheem Sterling didn't just go to the corner. He thought, I'm going to try and knock it past him and get him sent off. That's football intelligence. Raheem Sterling is developing very well. Very well. We did a podcast at the start of the year where we were predicting where City would finish. We both predicted City would finish first at the end of the season. After 9 Premier League games, City are first. Are you still sticking that by the end of game 38, Dom?
Yeah, 29 games later, they're still going to be top of the league.
You mean 30?
No, because they'll be 39 games, so 29 games.
Ah, yeah.
See what I'm doing
God.
There?
I can't even get my maths right, mate.
Come May, 38 games played, they will be top of the league. I know you don't think that.
No, I've changed my mind. I've changed my mind. And football fans are allowed to do that.
Yeah, we do it all the time.
I've been impressed by Arsenal. And I think Arsenal are going to win the league. I'm not saying definitively Arsenal are going to win the league, because they will prove me wrong. No doubt about that. But at this moment, I just think Arsenal team looks settled. They're ready for this. I don't think Pep's team are quite ready yet. As you've said, does he know his best formation? Is he going to cause more problems with key players like Aguero? I don't see that at Arsenal this year.
They don't look as tactically naive as they have in recent years.
And that's what I'm saying. Are the tactics, are the players in place at City just quite yet? They are blowing my mind with some of the football, but the results and the mistakes are still there.
As you know, football's a results business. You can play. You can
little cliche there from Don Betts.
You can play as well as you want.
Oh,
all you have to do is grind out results.
Sorry, John Motson.
That's all you need in the league.
Okay.
Leicester proved that last season, as I mentioned multiple times.
They did make many mistakes, and City are making mistakes at the moment. But Dom still thinks that they're going to win the title. I think they're going to go close. Don't shout at me for changing my mind. I think they're going to go close, but I just think Arsenal are going to pip them. But that's football. That's opinions. And this is the Football Hour, full of footballing opinions.
This is the Football Hour.
This is kind of an apology podcast. It is the Title Watch podcast series, and we're going to do Liverpool, Dom. Start of the season during Manager Watch series. Obviously, everyone enjoyed that series. That's why kind of series two is out now. But, Dom, you said the words about Liverpool Football Club. They're not even a contender in the title race. This is the worst one, Liverpool fans. Will you give your Twitter name out now so they can...
At D... OMANOM underscore at Dominom underscore.
Right.
Tweet me all the hate. I'll get it.
So you can tweet directly after what I'm just about to say, or what Dom is just about to say. Finally, their fans are realising they're not a big team anymore. Explain.
No, I'm standing by that. I'm standing by they're not a big club anymore. Yeah, they're no bigger than a team like Spurs for me. If we're going over the last 5 years or so. They're not that much bigger than Spurs. They've both had one attempt at winning the title. Like, the way they're performing in the league hasn't been any miles better or miles worse than Spurs.
This season? You don't think...
The recent, maybe last 5 years.
Okay, but...
The way they're performing in the last 5 years hasn't been that much different to Spurs.
I accept your point there.
They're not a bigger team as, like, an Arsenal, as big as Man City, or as big as Man United.
Can this season, then... If you're saying they've had years which... can compare to Tottenham in recent years. Is this their year then? Is this their season? Because Dom, I have been really impressed with their attacking. They're like the Red Arrows coming up teams. You don't know what angle Firmino's going to come from. Is Coutinho going to be down the middle? Is he going to drop deep? Is Mane going to play centrally? Is Sturridge going to come off the bench and destroy teams like he did against Tottenham in the League Cup? It was the Daniel Sturridge match. It wasn't Liverpool versus Tottenham. Daniel Sturridge went and won that match. I know we're going to come on to him and whether he should be in the first 11 in the Premier League, but it's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, going forward, they are probably the best team in the league. There's no doubt about that. But that's also sort of their downfall, is they concede a lot of goals as well. They'll score like 4, but also concede 2 or 3.
Okay.
For every 4 they score, they'll concede 2 or 3, if you know what I mean.
Can we have a... I appreciate James Milner podcast.
Who doesn't love James Milner?
Who doesn't love James Milner? Unless you're a Man United fan because he's played for Leeds, Man City and Liverpool. But what job he's doing at left back?
I swear he could do a job in any position. I'll shove it in goal, mate.
Karius looks a bit dodgy under crosses. Can Milner go in goal?
He can play any position on the pitch. I don't understand it. So, yeah, winger, yeah. Fullback, yeah. Centre mid, yeah. Holding midfield, yeah. Number 10, yeah.
I thought if there's any position... in the defence, which is for him, it'd be right back. Because he's got an unbelievable cross, hasn't he? Last season against Dortmund, all the crosses for the goals came from James Milner. I think he got more assists in the second part of the season than Mesut Ozil, and we know he's the assist king. But James Milner on the left side, it's like he chops back on his right foot and puts these beautiful in-swingers in, doesn't he? And he's defensively solid. He works up and down the pitch. He's a Klopp player, isn't he?
Yeah, he's like Grosskreutz from Grosskreutz.
I don't know who that person
basically
is.
Basically, he was a guy at Dortmund who could play all over the pitch.
And his name was what?
It's like Grobkreutz, Grosskreutz, something like that. Like something like that. I just remember he could, under Klopp, he played in every single position.
Yeah.
I probably absolutely butchered his name.
Right.
But that isn't the point.
Coleslaw.
Coleslaw, that's it. He could play on the wing, he could play in the centre, he could play at fullback.
Yeah, Coleslaw. Just play it anywhere, can't you?
Shove it
any
anywhere.
Meal, you he can play that. No, we've probably been harsh on. I don't know who. We don't know who he is.
Grosskreutz,
so.
I think was his name.
Grosskreutz.
Sure.
Yeah, I think I remember that. Yeah. Talk to me about James Milner. Don't talk to me about Coleslaw.
Yeah, James Milner. I've always liked him.
Right.
I mean, you're a Leeds fan. You saw him when he was growing up as a young player.
Yeah.
What was you say his best position when he was a young player?
He was an out and out winger, attacking winger. He was the youngest ever Premier League goal scorer at the time. And I want to talk about Klopp needs to win a trophy this year. Leeds United have just drawn Liverpool in the League Cup. I don't want them to win that trophy. But it's going to be interesting seeing James Milner, because already on our Twitter, Leeds United's official Twitter account, they put a picture of James Milner playing for Leeds against Liverpool and a picture of him at Liverpool now. Developed as a player, he looks big, he looks strong, he looks like he's 10 years older, 15 years older, whatever he is, but he's developed his body, he looks stronger, but he's always had that work rate. He's very northern in his sort of, I'm just going to crack on and do my job, I'm not going to complain. You can play me right back, you can play me centre mid, you can play me left wing, you can put me on the bench. It's the northern mentality about, you know what, I'm not going to complain, I'm going to do what my manager asks of me. And we're modern-day football fans. You don't see that from footballers, do you?
No, I mean, the only time you see that is in the lower leagues.
Yeah.
You don't see that in the top leagues at the top level.
Let's talk about Daniel Sturridge. I know he's a northerner, he's from Manchester, but he's clearly gone the opposite way of James Milner and said, I want to play one position. I want to play striker. I don't want to play wide. I'm not willing to put in the work rate of other players. Where's Daniel Sturridge in Premier League games? He's on the bench, isn't he?
Because he's not willing to put the work in. I know he had a good game midweek in the cup game against Spurs, right?
Yeah.
But he doesn't suit the way Klopp wants to play. He's not a striker who's going to be pressing up the other team's back line as soon as they have the ball from like a goal kick or something, or a throw in. He's not going to be the one who's interlinking with all these other attacking midfielders. He's just got tunnel vision most of the time. All he sees is the goal.
I've said this about Pogba, and I think they're similar players. They look fantastic on the ball. When they're playing for Daniel Sturridge, and Daniel Sturridge is on form, he's on fire, it's about Daniel Sturridge being on fire, isn't it? It's not about the team being on fire. And when Firmino looks good, it's when he's passing to Coutinho or passing to Mane and they're interchanging. Sturridge is very single-minded. He looks just like a player who's playing for a different team than the team he should be playing for. And I think that's the reason he's sitting on the bench. I don't think Firmino's got the quality Sturridge has, but he's got a better mentality.
Sometimes in a team, like a Klopp sort of team, the player who suits the system more is going to be better for the team than necessarily the player with better natural talent.
What were you saying about the interchanging of the positions?
If you take all minus Sturridge, you take all their attacking midfielders except for possibly Lallana, they can all play striker, left, centre or right.
Right.
Mane has played up top before.
Yeah.
He's played in the wing and he's played in the middle. Firmino does it all the time now.
Firmino can play 10,
yeah,
left wing, right wing, centre forward.
Even Coutinho could probably do a job at number 9. Maybe he wouldn't be that good, but I think he'd do a job there. Lallana can play left, middle, right. And they can play all these positions well.
And they're fine with playing them. That's
whereas Sturridge can only play one position well, which is striker, and he doesn't even do that position very well in this system because of the pressing and how much you need to interlink with your attacking midfielders. Remember what like how interlinked Lewandowski was with the likes of Rice?
I think we're discussing Sturridge as England fans, aren't we? Because we want him to play like Wayne Rooney, like Harry Kane, like Jamie Vardy, because he's been on the bench recently. We want these players to be the best players in their team, don't we? Because we want them fit and firing for England. Is this just good for Liverpool, that they've got a player of Daniel Sturridge's quality coming off the bench after 70 minutes?
I'd rather have this problem than not have it.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. It's a problem which is an issue, but it's good to have it.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way to put it. I mean, Liverpool's attacking midfielders are just unbelievable who they have at their disposal. The likes of Coutinho, Mane, Lallana, Firmino, even their midfielders in general, like the likes of Jordan Henderson. There was a sign they've made the youngest of Grujic, who he hasn't played much, but when he's played, he's impressed me. So they've got a lot at their disposal in midfield and attacking wise, but we know where Liverpool's issues lie, and it's in their defence.
We love Klopp. We've said on previous podcasts, Dom, we love his energy. But what happens this season if they don't win the title, if they don't win a cup? Does this energy and enthusiasm become a bit tedious? What's going to happen if he wins a trophy? Is he going to explode?
I think if they get in the top four, let's say, this season, right? And right, that's it. They don't win the EFL Cup, they don't win the FA Cup.
Because they're not going to win the League Cup because they've got Leeds.
All they do is finish in the top four. Liverpool fans would have taken that before the season started.
Okay.
It's showing progression because Liverpool, as a club, haven't really progressed anywhere in the last... Since Rafa Benitez left, they haven't really progressed anywhere.
Well, no, they did under Brendan Rodgers, right, but just couldn't keep it going.
That was just for that one season, right?
Yeah.
They need progression over a certain amount of time, so like a five-year period. And if they get into the top four now and can stay there and then move on to title pushes in the next few years, but then you can also look at it like this is their best chance to win the league. If they finish in the top four, next season they're going to have Champions League football. Whereas this season, all they have is the cup competitions, the domestic cup competitions. And maybe the EFL Cup is really important to them this season because it'd be nice for them to win a trophy.
Can they not just win the FA Cup and not the League Cup? Can Leeds not win the League Cup?
Okay, yeah, Leeds are going to win the EFL Cup, and then Liverpool win the FA Cup.
Okay, it's called Title Watch, though. At the start of the season, I asked you the question, where are Liverpool going to finish under Klopp? I listed names of the players which you, on this very podcast now, have been saying are brilliant. You said those players were going to finish seventh this season. Dom, they're sitting third, they're level points with Arsenal and City. The win at the weekend, them two don't get the right result. Liverpool will be top. They're six places above what you said. I said they'd finish fourth. Where are Liverpool going to finish now?
Now I'm going to go third. Four places. I don't think they have enough to beat City and Arsenal in the league table, but I think they've definitely got enough to be level with the likes of United, Tottenham and Chelsea.
You know what? I'm going to stick with what I said at the start of the season. I'm going to go with fourth. I've said it hundreds of times on these podcasts, this league is going to be so tight. And it's stupid.
Yeah, you could finish fifth and only be 5 points off the team who wins the league.
Yeah, and it's kind of stupid me asking questions where they're going to finish because it's just going to make us look stupid, which we already do.
Because there's still near enough 30 games of the league left.
Yeah.
We're only about a quarter of the way through, if that.
Well, we enjoy doing these podcasts, so we're going to make mistakes. This has been the Liverpool Title Watch. Dom, thank you for doing it.
This is the Football Hour.
We turn our attention to Spurs. Who'd have thought it? Tottenham Hotspur going for the title for the second season in a row. They're only 1 point off Man City in first place. We know there's five teams. Currently, Tottenham are fifth outside the Champions League position, but it's only on goal difference. It's bloody tight. They're the only unbeaten side in the Premier League, Dom. How long is this run going to go on for?
See, I know they're unbeaten, but since they beat City the game before international break, they've scored two goals in four games in all competitions. Like, I know they're still unbeaten, that's great and stuff, but the games against West Brom and the games against Bournemouth, if they want to be winning the title, these are the games they should be winning.
Is it just down to Harry Kane being injured then? I think it is.
I think, yeah, you could say that because obviously Victor Janssen, the guy they got from Holland, I don't think he's quite adapted to the league yet.
He doesn't look very mobile.
His goals have been in cup competitions. Obviously, he scored the penalty against Liverpool on Tuesday night. But until Harry Kane comes back, you can't really see where the goals are coming from.
Well, Son saved them, didn't they, in September when Harry Kane got injured.
He was amazing.
Well, he won Player of the Month, and he was amazing. Then dropped out the side. I don't know whether it was due to injury. It was against West Brom. I swear they dropped him out the side. And they've scored barely any goals since. I know Harry Kane's back in training. That's very good news for Tottenham fans. I, at the start of the season, was very, very suspect of Tottenham. I didn't think they would do this well. I didn't think they would go unbeaten because I thought for the English players there'd be a hangover from the Euros. But they're proving me wrong. I know Harry Kane wasn't firing completely before he got injured, but Dele Alli looks really good again. He looks happier now he's in a Tottenham shirt. Walker, Rose, they've still not developed their crossing. But,
or the defensive ability.
Well, they must have because they barely concede any goals. I've been impressed with the English boys. They've settled in. The only one I haven't been, Dom, impressed with is your mate Eric Dyer.
He has been quite poor this season.
He got dropped out of the two defensive midfield positions for Tottenham's home game against Manchester City. It was easily their best performance, wasn't it? Then after that, I don't want to say he was lucky that Alderweireld got an injury, because now he's dropped back into centre-back. What's happened to Dier? Is he just not good as Wanyama and Dembele?
No, he obviously is as good as Wanyama and Dembele, but maybe he's not been showing that in training.
Okay.
Maybe in training and pre-season, he wasn't showing what he should be showing, if you know what I mean. Like, obviously, I'm Dembele's biggest fan. Best box-to-box centre midfielder in the league. There's no argument about this. And then...
Was he the best midfielder in the league last season?
He is the best midfielder in the league.
He is this season and last season?
Yeah, and for the last three or four seasons.
Why? I just don't see it.
You don't see what's good about Moussa Dembele?
You're shouting at me? No, I don't. No, I see some good aspects. I do. But he's not Toni Kroos, is he, the way he passes the ball? He's not, like, elite world-class player. Maybe that's a good thing. I rarely notice him.
When he's got the ball, there is no player getting the ball off him. Simple as. When he... On the ball, he's so strong. Loads of players have said that. The toughest player they come against in training is Moussa Dembele.
And then you've got Wanyama next to him, who's an absolute brick house. No wonder Eric Dier's not getting in the team. You know what Eric Dier needs to do to get his form back? Shave his head. He looks too like Harrow Boys School, like Eton, all to the side.
So your haircut, basically.
Basically my haircut, posh to the side. I'm not a central defensive midfielder who needs to be putting tackles in.
You are a centre-half, though.
I'm a centre-back who pussies out of challenges, who should be on the bench, but not on Tottenham's bench. OK, so Eric Dier, we found the solution, mate, if you're listening.
Buzz cut, lad.
Shave your head. Stop messing around with Dele Alli on these Vine videos and on Snapchat. Shave your head. Well, you can do it on Snapchat. I think that'd be quite a good Snapchat, shaving the head. And then send it to the Football Hour. We'll tweet it and we'll get loads of retweets. Thanks, mate. Who am I moving on to? Dele Alli. Don't want to say this. This is stupid because I know he's not as good as Mesut Ozil. Can he ever reach that class?
I think he's a totally different type of player to Mesut Ozil. You compare the two of them, some people have, and it doesn't make any sense.
I just did it then.
I know, but their playing styles are so different to each other.
But is he a bit more mobile, maybe, Dele Alli?
Him as a number 10 reminds me more of a De Bruyne type number 10.
Right, yeah.
He's there for goals as well. He has obviously a great passing ability, but he's not quite a Luka Modric, Mesut Ozil type player. He's more of a number 10 version of a Kevin De Bruyne sort of type player. He will definitely guarantee you goals throughout the season. And his performance when they beat City White Lane was phenomenal.
It was, wasn't it? Performance of the season?
Must be, yeah, surely. Oh, he was just unbelievable in that game. And I think that game sort of was showing the Premier League how to counteract City's style. Obviously, it was their first loss of the season. That game was mesmerising from Spurs, but it's weird because they're quite inconsistent this season. Obviously, there was the 4-0 win at Stoke, and I know Stoke were doing very poor at the time, but that's a great result.
Without Harry Kane, they're fast from the front, aren't they? The players like Kane, Son, Lamella, Dele Alli, they don't give defenders a minute's rest. I would hate to be on the opposite team in their defence to play Tottenham. I'd hate it. They're just constantly, they're like bloody fly on holiday or mosquitoes. Just bloody go away. Literally go away, leave me alone. But they don't. City just couldn't get out. John Stones was trying his hardest to ask to do what Pep Guardiola was. You better pass, John. You better keep passing. Claudio Bravo, you better not boot it long. If you boot it long, I'll bring back Joe Hart from Torino. And you'll be gone. So they were doing what Pep said. I wouldn't do what Pep said with Tottenham players bombing down on me. I would knock it long. Pochettino, we've not spoken about the manager. Southampton, his first full season in charge. They were in the top four places till, I think, Christmas.
Yeah, it was definitely at least half the season.
Yeah. Finished eighth, ran out of steam. Tottenham, first full season last year, wasn't it?
First full season, yeah.
Ran out of steam. What is it about Pochettino? Third year now. Could it be a case of they run out of steam again? Because he works them boys hard. All you hear about coming out of Tottenham's training ground is they do 2-3 training sessions a day. One in morning, mid-afternoon and late on. Are the players burnt out? Will the players burn out?
I don't necessarily think last season was the players burning out. It was just...
I thought we saw in the Euros they were pretty burnt out.
Yeah, but I thought it was more their heads dropped at the end of last season than they actually were physically burnt out. I think Spurs are going to finish in the top four.
Okay.
I said this on Manager Watch at the beginning of the season. I think I said they finish either third or fourth, and I still think they will. I still think they'll finish fourth. And if we're going to say whether they can win the title or not, I don't think they have enough in comparison to what the other teams have to win the title this year, but I definitely think they can finish in the top four.
I don't want to give a position. I know that's sitting on the fence, but I think they'll be in or in abouts. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
There or thereabouts,
they won't be far off the top.
They won't be far off the top. And that compliments.
If you look at the teams, you've got City with Guardiola, you've got Arsenal with Wenger, you've got Liverpool with Klopp, you've got Chelsea with Conte, you've got United with Mourinho.
But when is it going to get to a point with Pochettino where he makes the next step? Because he's being talked about as a future Man United manager, a future Real Madrid manager. He's about to make the jump to the next level of elite manager. If Tottenham don't start winning things, how long can they keep hold of these world-class players? And I know a lot of them signed big, long contracts. But you saw with Gareth Bale, they don't wait around forever. Do they need to win something? Like Klopp this season, they need to win something.
I reckon if they don't win something, a good thing would be see how well they progress in the Champions League.
Right.
Because they've only really made it once.
Yeah.
Properly. And that's obviously the season when Gareth Bale decided to just put all jets on and was unbelievable. Especially, like, obviously, that game against Inter Milan when he obviously destroyed a Mykon.
What did he have? I've not seen that game.
Oh, you've not seen that game? So I think, yes, it'd be great if they won the FA Cup, finished in the top four and got to, like, the quarterfinals of the Champions League.
That would be a decent season.
But if they finished fourth and got to the semi-finals of the Champions League, right?
No way.
No way. But, I mean, I don't think they will. But let's say that happened. Let's say that happened, right?
Okay.
Spurs fan wouldn't say, oh, that's been a poor season.
No, it'd been a great season. But Manuel Pellegrini got to the semi-finals of the Champions League last year.
And he won a cup.
And he won a cup. So that's kind of the level we're dealing at with the Premier League nowadays, isn't it?
We do say it's Spurs and they're not like this huge club, but if they're going to want to be achieving and to become this top club, they need to be matching what the other top clubs are doing.
Yes, completely agree, Dom. You know what? I'm in agreement with you. Spurs fans, are you in agreement with us? Where can you finish this season realistically? Champions League, are you going to get out of the group stages? That's the question I'm going to ask. And how excited are you with Tottenham?
Remember to visit our website, thefootballhour.com, for all our latest podcasts and articles.
I'm joined with Dom Betts, right? And he didn't want to record a Tie to Watch Everton edition. Can you explain why, Dom?
Because they're not getting in the top four, and then, so that means they're not going to win the title.
They are sitting sixth, okay, I'll admit it, but they are 5 points off City at the top, and the league is so tight. They're 2 points off Tottenham. We did a Tottenham title watch. We did a bloody Man United title watch, Dom, and they're sat mid-table, sitting with Southampton and Watford. So
does that mean we're doing a Watford title watch and a Southampton title watch and a Bournemouth title watch?
If it means we get more listens, then yes, we are. Dom, why, for your money, are they not going to make the top four then?
Because they're not better than Man City. They're not better than Arsenal. They're not better than Liverpool. And they're not better than Chelsea.
I would say, why is their first 11 not on the same level as, say, Tottenham?
They got some good players, right? They got some really good players. I just can't see them being good enough for the whole entire season. Because, I mean, Ross Barkley has only just turned up after not been alive for the last 2 months. Just disappeared off the face of the earth. I mean, apart from Lukaku, there isn't a top player in that side for me.
Wrong.
Well, Gareth Barry.
He's a top player, mate. He's won a title. So if we're going through Tottenham, they haven't got an experienced player who's won the title before. They haven't got an experienced
player. Just because they've got someone like Gareth Barry who's won a title doesn't mean they have any chance in the world of winning the league.
Okay. Well, can we talk about... You said that Lukaku is their only top player.
He is.
Idrissa Gueye in midfield, performing like Kante.
Lukaku is the only player, I think, in their team who'd get in any of the top four sides.
I would say, on this season's performances, Yannick Bolasie is the player of the season so far.
What team would Yannick Bolasie get in? He wouldn't get in any of
Chelsea's.
The other top... He would not get in Chelsea's side.
I think he's been performing at a level which is in the top five Premier League players of the season. I really do.
I don't think he gets in that side in over Pedro.
I honestly think you do. On form, I think Bolasie is just improved so much. When he was at Palace, we all thought the star man was going to be Wilfried Zaha. Bolasie has taken it, gone further. He's developing a great relationship with Lukaku. They look proper good mates. You know when you can see when players just want to play for each other and perform well, there's connections
I think he's a great player, but I don't think he gets into any of the top four teams in the league.
But it doesn't matter because he gets in Everton's team.
Who, in my opinion, will be lucky to get a Europa League place this season.
Why? You're not telling me why, because just because they're 11. They've got a top four manager in Ronald Koeman, I think.
A top four manager, yes, but he's not one of the top four managers in the league. He is a manager who's got the ability to get a team in the top four, but he's not one of the top four managers in the league for me. Guardiola, I'd have it over him, Wenger, Klopp and Conte. I'd even take Pochettino over Ronald Koeman.
I think maybe Everton's faults are maybe in the squad. They haven't got the squad of the other team. But I would say their 1 to 11 can run people close. Two tremendous fullbacks. I know it's boring sometimes having the same players. Football fans, we all want new signings and new players. But it's great to see.
Really think they're going to get in the top four?
No, I don't. So I think it's going to be close. I'm just saying I think it's going to be close. The way you're talking, they're going to be with Man United in the relegation zone.
I think they'll finish around the same position as Man United do, which is going to be fighting for the Europa League places.
I don't think Everton are going to be far off Tottenham or Chelsea. I really don't.
I don't know, because I know it's not exactly on Everton, but I'm starting to change my mind on Chelsea.
Why?
I'm starting to think they are the second title favourites in this league. I mean, Everton, I'd say, are sort of on par with maybe the level of Spurs at the moment. I'd say those two are level. Those two are going to be fighting it out for the Europa League places, or border the fourth place in the league. Because I don't see them being any better than, as I said, Chelsea, Liverpool, Arsenal and City. I can't see them getting in the top four.
I really don't think they're far off.
They're not far off. They're like...
They're a great team, Dom.
They're like what Spurs were 4 or 5 years ago. They're there, but not quite there.
Lukaku against... Who did they beat at the weekend? West Ham. I thought he's dribbling and he's running. He's getting so much better. Is he better than Harry Kane? You could say he's better than Harry Kane.
Oh, no, I'd say Lukaku is definitely better than Harry Kane.
Okay. Is he better than Firmino?
He is better than Firmino.
Okay.
As I said, he's the only player in the Everton side who would get in any of the top four teams.
Well, is Bolasie better than Lamella at Spurs? I'd say maybe yes.
I'd say on their day, no
better
way.
Better than Nolito?
I would definitely not say he's better than Nolito.
I think you just want to go against me.
I don't. Yannick Bolasie, yes, he started really well, but he's definitely not better than Nolito for me.
Go on then. Okay. What's impressed you then? I know where you're coming from, that you just think that the other teams are just at another level.
Yeah, I'm not saying Everton have played bad. I mean, they have had a couple of strange losses, like the one to Bournemouth and the one to Burnley. But overall, their home form has been great.
It was the Burnley one the other week, wasn't it? Because I think if they beat Burnley, which they look like they could have...
Well, they'd be above Spurs if they won that game.
Exactly.
Ross Barkley, when he's at his best, he's unplayable.
Why can we not get that performance against West Ham from Ross Barkley? Why does it not come every week?
I think it will start coming every week because he's finally maturing as a player. I think before he was a bit too rash with some of the decisions he made. He'd often not be in the position he needs to be. He'd need to be in number 10 and he's still in the number 8 position. I think he's maturing as a player. His position, he's coming a lot better. Seems to be in the right position a lot more these days.
Can I be a bit critical of him? He's taken a long time.
It has taken him a long time. Yeah, it has. But then it does take, obviously, some players a longer time to mature as a player.
A few years ago,
he was like one of the brightest prospects in English
exactly.
football.
Look at Dele Alli. One of the first names on the team sheet for England and for Spurs. We thought Ross Barkley was going to be that player. Why is it taking... I don't know what's up with the lad. Because you're right. Some games...
For me, he's different to any other number 10 in the league in how direct he is as a player.
And I like his shooting ability. He's a bit Frank Lampard, a bit Steven Gerrard. I know Everton fans...
He comes across as more as a Frank Lampard than a Steve Gerrard for me.
Really?
Because I'm not saying Lampard couldn't pass the ball.
But
Gerrard was a lot more of a long-distance passer. Lampard was just goals, 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 goals,
yeah,
goals.
Yeah, I'd say Lampard was more 6 yards. Box tap-ins, and I'd say Gerrard was maybe a bit deeper, maybe the edge of the box, which is what Barkley, that's where he...
But I think if he did get into the 6 yard box, he'd score a lot more goals as well.
So maybe
if he pushed up to our famous position with 9.5 in behind Lukaku, he would get a lot more goals. But I think for Everton to challenge the top four this season, their players need to be performing every game.
Right.
They can't have these slip-ups.
Yeah.
Because City and Arsenal and Liverpool, Chelsea don't really slip up that much.
I understand. There's been talk in the press, Dom. Koeman didn't knock the idea of Wayne Rooney coming back. We spoke about it with Luke Garbutt, player for Everton. Would he fit into this team? Or would he stop the progression of, let's say, Ross Barkley?
Exactly. If you bring Rooney into the side, he's clearly been playing the 9.5 or 10 role that Barkley plays. And it may either mean Barkley drops deeper or drops to the bench.
It's been said if Rooney comes back, because he left at 18, he was Everton's golden boy. Around Merseyside at the time, there's never been excitement about a player before and since, really. This guy, we knew he was going to be a world star. We didn't think he was actually going to leave for Manchester United, and he did. He turned his back on his hometown club. There was a lot of hate towards him the first maybe 5-6 years. But he had his testimonial. He did the testimonial for Duncan. Was it Duncan Ferguson?
Duncan Ferguson.
And he had his own testimonial at Old Trafford in the summer. And it sort of seems that the Everton fans are getting a bit nicer towards Wayne Rooney. Would it be patronising? He left because he thought he was better than the club at 18. Now he's decreasing as a player. Is it patronising on Everton if he wanted to come back?
I doubt Ronald Koeman would have an issue bringing Wayne Rooney into his side, having him and Lukaku being their main attacking players, but it would be a bit patronising, to be perfectly honest.
But he achieved everything in the game at United. We've got to say the move was the correct one.
Oh, it was definitely the correct decision at the time. Obviously, the United team
so
he went to...
So why is it patronising? Everton haven't done anything.
But it's like, if he's deciding, oh, I'm not good enough anymore, so I'm just going to go back to this lower club. As a fan, I don't think the club would find a patronising, but maybe certain fans would. Because I know certain fans, if a youngster did that to us.
So where would you play him then? Because I've got an idea. Can he take over from Gareth Barry in that position?
If you're going to have Wayne Rooney in a team, for me, he's got to play number 10.
Right.
But he's still got the goals in him. That's right. The thing. So you want to be playing him further forward. And I'd rather have Gareth Barry and Idrissa Gueye as the holding players.
I'm saying it could be in 6 or 18 months by the time Gareth Barry, I know the lad just keeps going, is a machine. I see a position maybe there.
I just don't like the idea of Rooney playing that deep.
Okay.
I'm just not a fan of it.
Yes or no for him to come back?
I'd say no. Because
I'd say yes.
Because I want Ross Barkley to progress as a player.
And can he not do that with Wayne Rooney around the team? Really intelligent player.
Well, but that means playing one of them deep in holding midfield. I don't want to do that because we know both their best position is number 10.
No, it's interesting. No, I really see where you're coming from. I tend to agree, but I quite like to see Rooney back in an Everton shirt. Maybe he can get that fire that he had at the start of his career. Let's do predictions then. We did at the start of the season. Where are Everton going to finish?
Now, I'm going to give them 6th.
Staying in the same place. If I think Arsenal are going to be winners, City 2nd, Liverpool 3rd. Probably right. I've been bigging them up, but no, I'm going to go Everton 5th. I don't know where that leaves Manchester United and Chelsea or Tottenham, but who cares? I'll get it wrong. I've got it wrong.
We're all wrong.
I've been Alex Mearns. That's been Dom Betts. This has been The Football Hour. Thank you for listening to our Everton Title Watch podcast.